What new nightmares will today bring? It's not funny at all, is it? You know, I work hard to provide for my family, make sure my wife and kids are taken care of, make sure that I'm properly paying the people who watch after my sheep and who watch after my fields and farm them for me. I'm not rich, though. If I was rich, I would live up in Jerusalem. But, you know, I don't make that much money. So we live over here in Emmaus. It's not too bad because, you know, it's like 7-mile round trip from Emmaus to Jerusalem. So we're up there several times a week, and the walk isn't too bad. It gives you plenty of time to think about all the failures you've made in life. I've learned something in my life. You know what that is? Something bad is always just around the corner. It is. Whether it's the Romans who mess things up and they make life hard for us, or if it's our own people. Now look, I'm no fan of Rome. They're terrible. But my own people, the way we deal with Rome is just as bad. We murder Romans. Or if we don't do that, we collude with them. Or if we don't do that, we work so hard to try and undermine them, it becomes the sole focus of our entire life. So much so that it is more important than following and worshiping the one true God. Somebody is always going to mess up everything for everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Cleopas. Back in my day, my wife, one of the times she was up in Jerusalem, she came across this person, Jesus from Nazareth. And she started listening to him. And as she started listening to him, she believed that he was a prophet from God. But then she began believing that he was also the Messiah, the one who God would send to the earth to redeem Israel, redeem the entire world, the one who would come and reconcile God and man, the one who would come and make forgiveness of sins possible once and for all. I didn't believe her, of course. But one of the times I was up in Jerusalem, I happened to see Jesus. And he went up to this blind man. And this was a blind man I knew. I'd give him money every so often. He placed his hands on his eyes. And he made him see. He healed him. And that moment right there, I knew that this Jesus was a prophet from God. And then, as I heard Jesus talking about the kingdom of God, I began to think, I began to wonder, maybe this is really the Messiah, the one who's come to take all the nightmares away. But he was crucified in Jerusalem. Our own leaders convinced the Romans to have him executed like a common criminal in the most shameful way possible. When Jesus died, I lost all my hope. Do you know what it's like to lose your hope? Jesus' death was worse than losing your job. It was worse than owing money to the tax collector. It was worse than having your whole house burned down. It was worse than losing all your relationships. It was worse than losing all the respect of your entire community. When Jesus died, my hope died with him. And it really wasn't worth anything worth living for anymore, you know? We were in Jerusalem when he was crucified. We were back home in Emmaus during the Sabbath. And early Sunday morning, my wife wakes me up. You know, like way too early to wake you up on a Sunday morning, right? She wakes me up and says, "Oh, we've got to go up to Jerusalem to the house where the disciples are all staying because some of the women want to get burial spices together for Jesus." So I went. Early in the morning, we walk up to Jerusalem way too early. The birds weren't enough yet. We get up there and we're in there, and the 11 disciples are still there, and some other women are there, other men are there, and we're all there. And you know, that walk back up to Jerusalem, it was miserable. Because we used to walk to Jerusalem, we were all excited about the Messiah, and maybe he's come to save everything, and then this was just, how are we going to preserve the name of a dead prophet? So the women are up there, and they're preparing burial spices and whatnot. I don't know. It was a waste of time. It was a total waste of time. Yeah. The Romans put guards in front of the tomb, first of all. And if they could somehow get past the guards, there was like a 4,000-ton boulder right in front of the tomb, down a hill. They ain't gonna move that. It's a total waste of time, but you know what? I didn't say anything because, well, I didn't say much, but I didn't say anything because grief makes people do weird things, right? So some of the women, they got the spices ready, they go. I stayed and we waited. It wasn't much. We're talking about, well, what do we do? What are the things he said that we have to record down? And then a little bit while later, the women who went with the burial spices, they come back. And they're like yelling and shouting. They're like, he's alive! He's alive! We saw angels! They told us he's alive! And look, none of the 11 believed them. None of us men did. I mean, come on. But my wife believed them. So finally, we're trying to calm them down. We're all, whatever. So Peter and John, they go off to go see what's going on. And you know what? They came back. And they said the tomb was empty. But they didn't see no angels. And they didn't see no Jesus. We waited there all day. Nothing happened. No angels to us. No Jesus. No nothing. Why work so hard to convince people that Jesus rose from the dead, right? Come on. So it was late afternoon. I finally said to my wife, look, we got to get going. It's getting late. She didn't want to leave, but we had to go. When it's dark out, it's dangerous on the road. So come on, we're going. So she came. Oh, that was not a fun trip back. We were arguing the whole way. I mean, she believed the women, and she believed that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I'm just like, oh, Mary. Oh, I didn't tell you. My wife's name is Mary. Right? I know what you're thinking. Oh, Mary. Everyone back then was named Mary. Yeah, everyone back then was named Mary. It's a beautiful name. How many of you named Mary? How many? None of you. None of you got beautiful names, right? Beautiful name. And you go, oh, yeah, but how can you tell people apart? How can you tell them apart if they're married? It's super simple. It's super simple. Okay, if the Mary is married, then she's Mary, the wife of her husband, right? And then if the Mary is not married, she's Mary, the daughter of her father. Now, if there's another Mary, and she's married to a husband who has the same name as the first Mary husband, then she's Mary from whatever place she's from. Simple. Now, if there's a third Mary, and she's married to a man who has the same name as the husband as the first Mary, and there's also another Mary who's also living in that place, and then you come up with Mary, the wife of a husband, from whatever place she's from. It's super simple, no problem. Why is it so hard? Anyway, so I'm telling Mary, she's like, oh, I believe that they were raised from the dead and then the angels and the women and all that stuff. And I'm like, Mary, come on, look, people grieve weird. That's what it is. The Romans killed him. Dead is dead. He's dead, he's gone. And so she's arguing with me, I'm arguing with her. And then all of a sudden, this stranger is like by us on the road, right? I know him. I didn't see him, I didn't recognize him. He's just a nobody. He's just nobody on the road. So I see him. I don't pay any mind. But get this. Get this. This nobody comes up to us and he says, what are you arguing about? Can you believe this guy? I mean, how many of you, when you're out in public, you see a couple arguing really strong and everything, you go up to them and say, hey, I'd like to argue with you too. How many of you do that? No one ever does that, right? They're arguing. Let them argue in peace. Leave them alone. So nobody, he's over here and he keeps asking. So finally, I'm like, look, buddy, are you an idiot or something? Where have you been the last few days in Jerusalem? Everybody knows what's been going on and all the things that have happened. And then the nobody just kind of shrugs and he goes, what things? So I tell them. I tell them all about Jesus and how we knew he was a prophet because of the miracles he did and how we had hoped that he was the Messiah, the one who was going to come and reconcile us to God and the one who was going to come and forgive us of our sins and the one who was going to come and take the nightmare of life away. And how he was crucified. He was betrayed by his own people. And I was buried in a tomb. And then I says to the nobody, I say, and get this, like just now, just today, just this morning, some of the women who followed him, they went up and they said that they saw angels and like, and that he was alive and the tomb was open and stuff. But, you know, you can't believe them. You just can't. And then my wife, Mary, she goes, why can't you believe him? And I go, oh, come on, Mary. You can't believe anything women say, even the Romans. The Romans know that women and their testimony in a court of law, it's inadmissible. Even the Romans know that. Come on. And Mary goes, oh, so the Romans are now the paragon of moral virtue? Mary, no, look. The Romans are terrible. They're awful. I hate them, right? I got it. They're terrible. But look, even when you're wrong about all these other things, even the Romans get that some things they get are right, and they even understand that sometimes women get a little crazy. Crazy? Yeah, crazy, Mary, like you're acting right now. So then the nobody says this to me. How stupid are you? Excuse me? And then he said, didn't you know that it is written that the Messiah must suffer before entering into his glory? And then the nobody, he said, he started talking about the Torah and the writings of Moses, and the writings in the Psalms, and the writings in the prophets. And he started going through the scriptures and showing us how the Messiah would have to suffer and then die and be raised back to life. And as he went, and as we were walking, something strange was happening. All of a sudden, I felt like, maybe there was still hope in the world, you know? And maybe, just maybe, maybe my wife is right, but don't tell her I said so. It was late when we finally got to Emmaus. The sun was going down. My wife said to the stranger, you have to come and stay with us tonight. It's not safe to walk the road alone. Because he looked like he was about to keep going, you know? So we came in. So we go into the house, and Mary makes some food. We sit down, and I went to go grab the bread to break it, you know? And then the stranger, he just snatches it away. And I'm about to yell at him, because that's the host's job. That's my job. The guest doesn't come into the house and break the bread and decide who gets to eat what. That's the host's job, right? So I go, and I'm about to yell at him, and when I look up, when I look up, it's him. It's Jesus. I blink, and he's gone. And I was stunned for a moment. And I said out loud, that was Jesus. And then Mary, she just goes, it was him. I told you he was alive! And then she added, and you called him an idiot! You know what this means? This changed everything. I mean everything, everything. I said to Mary, like, the whole time he was talking on the road, I felt this burning in my heart, right? You know, like something was happening. Do you feel the same thing too? And then even though it was late, crickets are already out, it's noisy, it's loud, it's dark, I said, we got to go tell the others. So even though it was late, even though it was dangerous, we walked back up to Jerusalem. We practically ran. And let me tell you, Mary doesn't run. So we get going, and we're all up there. And when we finally get into the house where the disciples are meeting, you know, the apostles are there, and they've all gathered, and we're telling them what happened, and they're all excited. And they tell us, hey, Jesus appeared to Peter too. And we don't know what to think. We're all excited, but we're hopeful, and we're happy, and we're weird, and it's all, we don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, just in the middle of this, Jesus appears. Ah! And some of us men thought he was a ghost. But Jesus says, why are there still doubts in your heart? Why is there still confusion in your minds? See my hands and my feet. Does a ghost have flesh and blood? Touch me and see. And we did. We hugged them. And we were, it was beyond our understanding, you know? He took and he ate fish in front of us, right? Ghosts don't eat fish. It was him. He was alive. He was resurrected from the dead. Looking back at it now, if you could have seen us then, like, we were so giddy, it would have been embarrassing. We were so excited and so happy. And then Jesus said, it was written that the Messiah would suffer and die, and he would be raised on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses throughout the entire earth. So that's why, the rest of my life, I work hard, hard to show people that Jesus is really resurrected from the dead. Because is it only through Jesus' resurrection that we can have forgiveness of our sins? It's only through his death and resurrection that we can have forgiveness of our sins, that we can be made right with God, that we can have hope in this hopeless world, that the nightmares can finally be at an end. That no matter what life throws at us, we know that we have a Redeemer that lives. Jesus told us to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. And when the Holy Spirit came, I didn't think it was possible, but our joy increased. It was incredible. Sometime later, years later, Dr. Luke came and he interviewed me for his gospel that he was writing. He interviewed me and Mary, and we told him everything. Didn't think much of it. And then we were sitting at church one day, and we were listening to his gospel being read, and I was amazed that my story was there. Can you believe it? My story? And so Dr. Luke was there. I said to him, Dr. Luke, why did you put my story in your gospel, and you didn't record Peter's story, right? Jesus appeared to Peter too. Why not put that story in? You know what Dr. Luke said to me? Dr. Luke said to me, because the gospel is for everybody, even nobody's like you on the road. You should work hard to show people that Jesus really did raise from the dead. You should work hard to show people that Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Because it's the only way that people can have their sins forgiven. Do you believe Jesus is resurrected? Do you believe Jesus is resurrected enough to rejoice in the face of nightmares? Do you believe Jesus is resurrected enough to go and tell others? The dawn has come. The nightmare has ended. let all the world rejoice.
Behold the light.